will be revising today, so get the Murli. We are already revising it from last 2 days, and I think almost all the points have been covered. So what is left? That is the question. As we are hearing this Murli from last 2 days, so many points are there in this Murli. Most of them are clear to us, but there are still some points which need some churning. So we discuss different methods. So I will also take up one method and discuss the Murli in that manner. There's a great story in Baghdad. There was once king, and he was very fond of one servant, and that servant was very much devoted to him. He used to do all his work so dedicatedly, and that king used to like him very much. So king was very much pleased with that servant one day, and he said to him, "Ki, you just ask me whatever you want, I'll give you, because I'm very happy with you." The servant said, "No, I don't want anything. I have already everything. You have given me everything." But the king was not ready to believe this, and he said that, "No, you have to ask me something. I'm very much happy with you, and I will give you something today." So the servant said, "Okay, then for one day I will become king and you become servant." So the king, though reluctant to do this, but because he had made promise, so he had to accept. So for one day the servant becomes king and the king becomes servant. So the servant says, "Now I am the king," and he orders his soldiers to catch hold of that servant who is a king and kill him. The king says, "What? Kill me?" He said, "Just shut up, because I am king now." So he kills the king, and later on he becomes king for the rest of his life. So that's a little funny story or a mysterious story. And yes, king was killed and he becomes king for the rest of his life. So this is how earlier he was servant, but later on he becomes king. So you know, Baba is today talking about servant, slave. This was a yukti in which a servant turned into a king. The entire Murli is about this king, servant and master or servant thing. So let's start this Murli. I'll use the method, word method for this Murli. Baba has used different words at different places. The first word in the Murli is Rajrishi. Let's try to understand this word. We have a very less time, 20 minutes from now. So we'll try to finish this in 20 minutes. Raj Rishi. There are two words in this. One is Raj. Raja means king. And Rishi means sage, a seer, mantra drishta. Rishi is a very, very elevated word. It doesn't mean saints. It doesn't mean just a sage or sadhu or sannyasi. It is something higher word. Actually, the real meaning of the word Rishi is singer or the poet of the hymns of Vedas. Actually, to be very specific, all the hymns, all the songs in Rig Veda, all those Rishis, all those people who sang, they are known as Rishis in the Vedic period. But in post-Vedic period, the meaning of the word Rishi changed, and it meant all the sages and yogis. Swami Vivekananda had explained this word in one of his lectures in America, and he said that Rishi means mantra drishta. Mantra drishta means seer of the thought. It doesn't mean a person who is a bookworm. It doesn't mean a person who is a philologist. It doesn't mean a person who is a scholar. Rishi is something else. Rishi is a mantra drishta. He's a drishta. He sees things as they are. So that is the meaning of the word Rishi. Baba is saying you are Raj Rishi. Raja means you are Adhikari. You have all the rights. One is this. Second, or one who is a master, self-sovereign. That is Adhikari. And second word is the Rishi. Rishi means, Baba said, it means a renunciate. Atyagi. Complete renunciate. Baba has been talking about renunciation from last few Sundays. And so it also means renunciation, it also means a tapasvi. So two things are there, and Baba is saying that you should have balance of these two things. You should be a complete master of yourself on one side, on the other side, you should be a tapasvi, a renunciate, the one who renounces everything. Baba has told about two steps of renunciation. The first step is renunciation of body consciousness, second is renunciation of all the relationships of body. Okay, so this is a very good self-respect, this is a very good swaman, that I am a Raj Rishi. There are about seven different types of rishis described in scriptures. One is Raj Rishi, another is Maharshi, Brahmshi, Dev Rishi, Kandarshi, and Paramshri, and Shruturshi. So there are different types of rishis which are described in Vedas. And the highest among them is Brahma Rishi. There's a story about Vishwamitra, who he wanted to become Brahma Rishi, and all his efforts were directed towards becoming a Brahma Rishi. But Brahma Rishi means one who doesn't have ego. That stage of egolessness. The very attempt, or very desire to become Brahma Rishi is against becoming Brahma Rishi. So that is about Brahma Rishi. So we all are rishis. We all are rishis, we all are tapasvis, we all are tyagis. But at the same time, we are adhikaris. We are the ones who have all the rights. So that is first word. Second word is the Swarajyadhikari. Here Baba is using it in the sense of being a master. So self-master, self-sovereign or self-master. Then here Baba has told about the difference between a master and servant. A servant is always unhappy. A servant is upset. He leads an uncomfortable life. He is always fearful. He is always complaining. That is the nature of a servant. He is a slave. You know, the slave, and he is having dependency. A master is somebody who is not dependent on anybody. Slave is always having the sanskars of dependency. I was just, I think I should speak more only on this word dependency. As I was churning this morning, there are seven different types of dependency. This Brahmins, every Brahmin develop. First is a physical type of dependency, adhinta. The different types of adhinta or dependency. First is physical. In physical dependency, for your physical comforts, physical well-being, you depend on somebody. For example, suppose you undergo certain operation, okay? After that operation, okay, after 7 days, most of the people come back to work. But they keep on taking help of somebody for another 3 months. You will still find them walking, holding somebody's hand. This is a very strange dependency. Means you are dependent on somebody for physical reasons. Even though at that point of time, most of the other people have become independent. You will see in the campus of Madhuban, they're walking, holding hand. Why? Because they are operated about 15 days back. But most of the people who get operated, they come to work only within 7 days. While some people take almost 3 months. Even after 3 months, they need people to help them for everything, for their physical comforts. So that is an example of physical dependency. Yeah? Yeah, carrying, whatever. It could be right from the, you need, there are people who carry pillow, there are people who carry certain things. So all those things are there. This is like for physical comforts. You are dependent on this. So that is a physical dependency. Second is the intellectual dependency. Now, you have a certain topic to churn, but you feel, oh, I can't do this. I need somebody's help. That is a sort of intellectual. Or, you have certain decision to make in your life. A very important decision. Now, whether to join this course or not. Whether to go here or not. Some intellectual question is there in your life, but you depend on somebody. You ask others, whether I should do this or not. How will others know? That is your life. You have to take the decision. So a sort of intellectual dependency is there. For the intellectual problems, we have certain intellectual problems in life. For them, you depend on others rather than in your own on your own intellect. Though Baba has made our intellect divine, it's not an ordinary intellect. This intellect which we possess is divine intellect. And divine intellect has got special powers. It can decide on its own whether what to do and what not to do. So, intellectual dependency. Let's try to be as independent as possible. That is second. Third is emotional dependency. We are emotionally dependent on others. If somebody respects me, I feel good. If somebody doesn't respect me, I feel bad. If somebody listens to me, I feel good. If somebody doesn't, I feel bad. If I send an SMS to somebody and somebody doesn't respond, I feel bad. Why I want that response from that person? We are so much in a subtle manner living a life of slavery. This is actually a life of slavery. We are in fact have become slaves. You know slaves, how American slaves, African slaves, how they were tortured. Physically tortured, mentally tortured. And they get accustomed to that. Later on, a stage comes when slave covets, the slave desires all those torture. Even that stage comes in the life of a slave. Without that torture, he doesn't like. He needs that torture. So many things happen in the life of a slave. If you study, there are people who have written their lives as a slave. How we were when we were slaves. So, in Indian, especially when Prithviraj Chauhan was defeated, who was the last king, Hindu king in India, after that Muhammad Ghori, but he didn't stay in India, he left, and he died without any descendant to rule. So he left different people in India. One of them was Qutbuddin Aibak, Qutbuddin from where the name Qutub Minar has come in Delhi. So that Qutbuddin Aibak, slave dynasty started. That lasted about 80-85 years. There were about 10 different kings in that. One of them was Razia Sultan. So in that slave dynasty, people were purchased and sold. They did not have their independent will, their desire. They were absolutely at the mercy of their masters. That is the life of a slave. Sometimes even if the master dies, that slave also gets buried along with the master. That is the life of a slave. So, Baba is saying, you should not be slave. You should not have any sort of dependency. So, third type of dependency is emotional dependency. Dependent on others. Fourth type of dependency is financial dependency. We are dependent. It's better in life to be independent rather than be financially dependent on others. They say that in spirituality, if you want to survive or lead a independent spiritual life, you should also be financially independent. I'm not talking of those who stay here, but those who stay outside Madhuban. For them, it's best that they remain spiritually, financially independent. Because you should never beg for money to anybody. That's the greatest sign of slavery. It's better to stand on your own feet rather than asking anybody for money. That is the fourth type. Fifth type of dependency is service dependency. Small services are there or small works are there. You depend on others for that. Let the sweeper come and sweep the floor. If that sweeper doesn't come, it remains dirty and clean. Let that person come and do this work. If that person doesn't come, it remains like that. Baba has always said, don't take anybody's service. Try to do everything independently. So that is a service dependency. Another is dependency of facilities. Facilities or sadhan. All this, light is there, bus is there, transport is there. So many things can come in that. Try to make sadhana as independent as possible. Our sadhana should be very much independent. So, and last is spiritual dependency. Spiritual dependency. What is spiritual dependency? For your spiritual efforts, you depend on somebody. For your jnana and yoga, yoga, you depend on somebody. For your meditation, you depend on somebody. You depend on even Madhuban. You should remain absolutely independent. You depend on programs of Yog Bhatti. Whether they are there or not there, your meditation should go on. Whether things are there or things are not there, whether persons are there, persons are not there, places there or places are not there, our sadhana should go on in uninterruptedly. So that uninterrupted sadhana, that should be there. So there should not be even spiritual dependency. So these are mental, first is physical, then intellectual, then emotional, then financial, then service, then facilities, and last is spiritual dependency. This, you know, even to depend on, in spiritual life, even to depend on somebody as a guru, they say MAD, mad. Mad is nothing but master and disciple relationship, they say. Once the master trains the disciple, he should go away. He should not stay there. Because otherwise those disciples get stuck in him. He has to remain absolutely, all the disciples, all those, they should not depend on anybody for their purushartha. Even Mahatma Buddha has said to his disciples, if I meet you on the way, cut my head. Means, don't depend on me. Appo Dipo Bhava. That was the last word in Pali language. Mahatma Buddha had said to his disciple Anand, be a light unto yourself. Do not worship me. Do not depend on me. Be a light unto yourself. So that is dependency. So that is the first is Rajarishi. So we are Rajarishis. Second is we are Swarajya Adhikaris. Third is Baba is talking about the Karma Leela of servants. They play one game, one amusing game. What sort of game is that? Sometimes mouse comes, sometimes cat comes, then dog comes and lion comes. And they are busy in showing off those people, those different things which are coming. So this is a play Baba doesn't like. Baba says Baba smiles when he sees children playing this game. So that is the sort of play. Fourth is magnet of remembrance. Magnet of remembrance. That is the fourth word in this Murli. Magnet of remembrance. Baba has asked a question, why you come out, why you slip off this throne, self-sovereignty. So, get, use this magnet of remembrance. To remembrance, yad has been compared to a magnet. Get stuck to the throne, or remain stuck to the throne with this magnet of remembrance. So our remembrance should become like a magnet. Okay? So that is the fourth word. Fifth word is file and fine. Files of complaints and requests. The more you complain, the more is your complaining nature, more you are whining and weeping, and more you are always narrating your story of sorrow and suffering, the more fine you have to pay. So, and why those complaints are there? The one reason for that is we have not accepted life as it is. There are many people who have so difficult circumstances in their life. Whenever they meet you, they start narrating their story. This is not good, that is not good, this circumstances is not good. Baba has said Swarajya Adhikari is the one who remains unaffected by physical comforts, atmosphere, environment, by persons, by everything. Adverse situations, adverse condition, he remains unaffected. So this thing that we have not accepted people, that is a non-acceptance of people's circumstances. There are situations which are not going to change in life. There are situations which we can change. But there are situations which we can't change. So what to do? You have to accept them at one point of time. So you have to accept. So acceptance is not there. That is the file. Fifth. Sixth is father's wishes and our wishes. They are should be in alignment with each other. What is his wish and what is my wish? So these two wishes should be in alignment with each other. What is his wish? His wish is that we should maintain pure feelings and good wishes for everyone. You should have good wishes for everyone. If we become self-benefactor and benefactor of the world, or we remain absorbed in love. That is his wish. So what is his wish should be my wish. That is the sixth point. Seventh point is respect and follow. You have to respect everybody in this yajna. But that doesn't mean that you start following them. You have to follow only one person. I have one question here, which you all of them can take as an homework. It's a very subtle question, and this question is really, I think nobody has asked till now, or it is sort of a revolt, people will not accept this, but this is a question. In spirituality, to follow anybody is considered as a form of slavery. So we are told to follow Brahma Baba. Is that also a form of subtle slavery? That is a question. You can think and we will discuss this again. Because in spirituality it is said that to follow anybody is a sort of subtle slavery. Subtle spiritual slavery. So now Baba has told us to follow Brahma Baba. So is that also a form of subtle spiritual slavery to follow Baba? That's what I have given. This is open for discussion. So you can think on that, ki if this is a subtle spiritual dasta, slavery, so should we become a slave like this in following somebody? That somebody might be the highest soul of this earth, but whatever, you can think on that. So that is seventh. It is magical web of physical senses and spiritual unconsciousness. That is the eighth point. Baba has said that each physical sense is so tiny, but like eyes. But it can weave a web. That is a magical web, and you become spiritual unconscious to spiritual consciousness or divine consciousness or to godly codes of conduct. So that is eighth point. Ninth point is about spider and net. What the spider does? Spider eats its own web. I was reading about spiders. They have different types of webs, some horizontal webs, some orb webs. And how it forms the web, it has got so many legs, six legs and whatever. What are the stages in web formation and all those things. So Baba has used the analogy of this animal. Spider eats its own web. So what you have to do is eat all the expansion and get situated in the points. And I am a point. Put a full stop. Put a point. And become like that. This expansion, whatever is there, of senses or whatever, you have to merge it into a point. That is ninth point. Tenth point is about tree and seed. See, Baba is using the examples of this world. He is talking about tree, he is talking about seed. He is talking about spider, he talks about honeybee, he talks about those swans. He talks about cat, mouse, lion. See, the language which he is using. Actually, his concept is so abstract. It is like formless. But he is using the objects, things, river, ocean, things of this world, animals of this world to explain his point. He is using that as a peg to hang his point. So, that is the tenth is tree. Baba has said that you have to sit on the top of the tree. Because tree starts with a seed and tree ends with a seed. Seed and seed. So you are master seed. So you become a master seed. That is 10th point. 11th point is river and ocean. River and ocean. You are river. You get merged into the ocean. Get absorbed in his love. That is his desire. So you are like river. He is talking with UP group. Rivers merging into a ocean. That is 11th point. 12th point is lottery. Lottery of service. Baba said, you got this lottery, now it depends on you. Whether you maintain it, you increase it. Whatever it has to do, you have to do. In service also, you have to be instrument, you have to be constructive, you have to be humble. Not that consciousness of, I have done this. No, Baba has done it. So, that is, he is talking with teachers. Also, he has given a fruit of contentment. So, 12th point is lottery. 13th point is about honeybee. Just as honeybee looks only his vision. Honeybee's vision is only on the flower. So also, in the similar manner, you should look only on the specialties. That is honeybee. 14th point is, one more thing about honeybee. Very, very, very beautiful thing about honeybee. And that is, once a human being, a man went to honeybee and asked, don't you get angry? Human beings, they go to your hive, and they destroy your hive and take away all the honey that you prepare. you make so much effort to go from one flower to another, to collect nectar, and then you prepare so much honey. But human beings, what they do? They burn, they put a fire, and they take away all the honey. Don't you feel hangry? Honeybee gives a very good answer. She says that, man can steal my honey, but he cannot steal my ability to make honey. My art of making honey that human beings can't steal. Can we make honey? Not possible. So man cannot steal my art of making honey. So this point is honey. So become like a honey. 14th point is your swans, your holy swans. What you have to pick up pearls. He has again given example. Yesterday I was thinking it's sometimes so difficult to become a holy swan. Because situation, so many negativity is there. And you have to pick only positivity. Every human being comes in front of us as a maya, as a paper. And then you are told that you have to see only the positive side of it. Sometimes it is not so easy, though we have heard it times out of number. You have to become holy swans who pick up only pearls. But in practice, sometimes it becomes very difficult. It's very difficult. Because there are people who speak against you. There are people who try to pull you. There are people who plot against you. There are people who cast aspersions on you. There are people who blame you. There are people, as somebody was saying, in front of you they are very sweet, but behind you they stab you. Backstabbing. And you never know. Huh? Roll gold personality. They are like false gold, pseudo gold. So that these are more dangerous type of people. How to deal with them? So that is the, and last point is about, last point is time, treasures and great soul. Baba has said this time is very valuable. This is important for, because of this time you get reward for the whole cycle. So don't waste time. And I think this is the greatest of all the purusharths which all the Brahmins should do. They should not waste their time. Time wasting in gossips, in food, in too much over-occupation with food, too much health consciousness, too much running here and there. All these are, you know, time wasters. We have taken out the list of time wasters that day, about 21 different time wasters. So, put a full stop to this time waster. Your time is important. Second is treasure. You play with the treasures. Baba has given you so many treasures of knowledge, and your mind should be busy in churning this knowledge. You should play only with the treasures, with the jewels of knowledge. And last point is the, in the same great soul. You have got the inheritance of becoming a great soul from Father. So these are total 15 points. We'll just revise and put an end to, and then end the class. First is, you are Rajrishis. Second is, you are Swarajyadhikaris. Third is, this play of servants. We should stop this game of being a servant, that each and every day another one or another senses is deceiving us. For this magnet of remembrance, we have to convert our remembrance into a sort of magnet. Fifth is, put an end to all the files of complaints and requests. Why to complain? Try to accept situations and try to accept life. Try to accept those things you cannot change, rather than simply complaining whole life about it. Sixth is, Father's desires and our desire, they should be in an alignment. Right now they are going in different directions, his wishes and my wishes. Sometimes diametrically opposite also. Seventh is respect. We have to respect everybody in this yajna, but follow only one. And the homework is whether to follow Brahma Baba is also a sort of subtle spiritual slavery. We will discuss this topic in detail in next future classes. Eighth is this magical web and spiritual unconsciousness. This is another topic for churning. Spiritual unconsciousness. When we become spiritually, till 9 o'clock we are fully conscious. At 9 o'clock we start becoming unconscious. By 12 noon we are absolutely unconscious and will directly get up at 5 o'clock. Till that time everything is forgotten. Nothing we remember. This happens in Brahmins. The moment they go into their karma kshetra, their workplace, they are different persons. They are in Madhuban, they are different. They are in their Laukik, they are different. And center they are different. At home they are different. In office they are different. This is a split personality. Spiritual schizophrenia. Intoxication is lost. So that's why Abhay said the person who is intoxicated or is unconscious, how much, no matter how much you try to wake him up by earphones or whatever, he doesn't wake up. So in the similar manner, we become spiritually unconscious. So you can churn on this topic, what are the causes of spiritual unconsciousness? Everybody should churn on this. Causes of spiritual unconsciousness. The next point is, ninth point is about the spider and web. The spider eats up its web. So let's eat up this expansion of waste and negative and become point. 10th point is tree and seed, become master seed. 11th point is about river. Imagine that I am a river and getting merging into ocean. This is a yoga experiment. I am a river going like this, meandering river, and getting merging into ocean. Ocean is in front of me, ocean of love, and I am river. And on the way, so many things are coming, but my destination is there, ocean. I have to get merged and become one with that ocean. I should keep on seeing, I should never lose sight of that ocean. I should keep on seeing that ocean is in front and I have to get merged. Villages are coming, dams are coming, mountains are coming, sand is coming. Sahara of loneliness is coming. So many things are coming on the way, but my destination is fixed. I have to get merged in that ocean. So I am not going to stop. I may have to mold, but I will not stop. I may have to turn, but I will not stop. I have to reach my destination. 11th. Then next point is, yeah, lottery. So you got a lottery. Now this is another point, homework for everybody. What do you feel if suppose you get a lottery? Suppose you got a lottery of 20 lakh, 10 lakh. What you do? What sort of happiness is there? There was a one woman, I will end this with this talk. There was a one woman, and once she gets news that her husband had got the lottery of 10 lakhs. So she gets afraid. She thinks that if my husband gets to know, he might get a heart attack out of happiness. So what should I do? So what she does, she goes to a temple, and one pujari is there, one priest is there. She tells, ki my husband has got a lottery of 10 lakhs, how can I reveal this news to him? If I tell him straight away, he may get a heart attack. Priest says, don't worry, I'll take care. I will reveal it in installment. I'll tell him first that you got a lottery of 1 lakh. Gradually I will tell like this. So, okay, so priest comes and he tells the husband that what you will do. He asks the husband, what you will do if you get a lottery of 1 lakh? So husband says, 1 lakh? Oh, that's so good idea. I will give 50,000 to you. The moment the priest hears, he gets a heart attack and he falls. So, what happens when you, he had a collapse. Actually, he had come there to reveal this news of 10 lakhs. But he himself gets the heart attack when he says, he hears that he is going to get a reward of 50,000. So that's the story. So then B, then this, next is, honeybee. We have to become like a honeybee. And think, for honeybee then, you have to think every Brahmin or every soul is a flower. So that I go and collect nectar from everybody. That is my aim now. Now I don't look at those thorns. I don't look at those leaves. I don't see where it is grown, in the mud or where. I have to see only the, my vision is only on that nectar, that makaranda. Only I will go and collect that. So that is. And last is swans, holy swans. I have to become like a holy swan. And last is time, treasure and great soul. I am a great soul. This is a great time. I have got the inheritance of becoming a great soul. So I should not waste a single second of my life. I have to utilize, churn. Baba said, keep on churning this knowledge. Om Shanti.